The latest news and analysis is brought to you every Monday to Thursday in the Israel Update with Anthony Wright, only on Chai FM.
Anthony Wright, a very good morning. How are you?
Not too bad, thank you, Howard. Nice to have you back again after all the speculation about why you might have been away yesterday. But I have to be honest and tell you that I had a real dilemma about what we're going to talk about first this morning, because, you know, we've got this Tel Aviv marathon going on tomorrow, and the running community always seem to be in a hurry. They haven't got much time to just listen to things. They've got to go out for their runs in the morning. So I'm not quite sure if we're going to talk about it first or last.
Sorry, Becky says, what was the answer to the riddle? The answer to the riddle was Mount Kilimanjaro. I thought I mentioned that. Sorry about that if I didn't. All right, there is a lot to talk about. And one of the things that I did want to also just put past you is when we talk about the elections, just to talk about the whole concept of Meir Kahane's party being potentially brought into government, which is quite concerning as far as I'm concerned. But let's start off with politics. We'll end it all with the Tel Aviv marathon, because they should be tapering now anyway, Anthony.
They should have tapered.
Exactly. So while they sit and eat their pasta, they can listen. Wouldn't do them any harm. A last minute has been struck between Yair Lapid and Benny Gantz in terms of which they've merged their parties into a united list to run in the upcoming general election. So does this present a real threat to Likud?
Well, if we believe what the opinion polls are telling us, then we understand that a joint list actually is scheduled or is expected to get more seats than the Likud in the next election. That was an opinion poll that was conducted yesterday. And what the opinion poll said is that the joint list between Gantz and Yair Lapid will win 34 seats in the next Knesset, whereas Netanyahu's Likud party will win only 33 seats. And that one seat could be the absolute difference between being in government or not being in government. There is, of course, a lot of speculation as to whether the opinion polls are being buoyed at the moment by all of the attention that's being focused on the Gantz, Lapid coming together yesterday. Of course, people didn't know that they were going to be united, but there was a lot of speculation. Today is really the last day for deciding, because tonight the lists have to be submitted to the Central Election Committee. And so this was really the last opportunity for these lists to be brought together. But this is quite a powerful list in the sense that Yair Lapid, of course, is a very well-known person, not only in national politics in recent years, but of course previously as a journalist, TV journalist, and of course through his father as well, Tommy Lapid, who was also someone who was in national politics and very well-known. Benny Gantz is well-known, of course, having been the former chief of general staff of the army, and he has succeeded in recruiting two other people who were also chiefs of general staff in the army, being Moshe Bogi Yaalon and, of course, Gabi Ashkenazi, who has kept a lower profile out of the three former chiefs of general staff. But this seems to be quite a powerful coming together of former military people, people who have clearly led the army, who have had experience in administration, in, you know, taking strategic decisions, in having to decide things at a moment's notice, having been out in the field. So the military credentials seem somehow to give people a feeling of confidence that this a group of people can come together and actually rule the country. And interestingly, the deal that was struck between the Yesh Atid and the Israel Resilience parties was that there's going to be power sharing in the event that they do indeed win the election in the Knesset and they ask to form a government, that Yair Lapid will first of all be the prime minister for 2.5 years, and then he will be followed in the following 2.5 years by Benny Gantz. This was the deal that was struck, that they will alternate as prime ministers. And it's an interesting one, because the last time I recall that happening was between, I think it was Rabin and Shamir, where it didn't work very well, because in the second period, of course, the government collapsed. And so therefore the power sharing wasn't really power sharing. It was just kind of whoever was first prime minister got the piece of the cake that he wanted. And then the rest kind of, you know, disintegrated. So it's an interesting concept that they've re-emerged with, as it were. Apparently that was enough to convince the two leaders with very, very large egos that they want to run in this joint list in order to somehow try to block the possibility of Prime Minister Netanyahu returning for another term.
I have to tell you that I think they're quite a formidable duo, but I'm quite disappointed that was the compromise, because it's not a compromise of strength. It's a compromise of two people who actually can't reach a conclusion.
Absolutely. And that was always the issue. I mean, as we discussed this week, the fact that, you know, it was not clear who was going to be the leader of this outfit. And the answer is there is no leader. There are two leaders.
Yeah. So, that doesn't work. Well, I don't think
it kind of
does.
Doesn't work. I mean, we've certainly seen in the past that it didn't work particularly well. It's going to be interesting to see if it will work enough to unseat the Prime Minister, because I think that that's the critical thing. I think that that would be a turning point in Israeli politics if Netanyahu runs and doesn't succeed in forming the next government. I think that's a critical turning point in Israeli politics. And then even if this particular grouping doesn't work in terms of running the next government, and we may well have to run to early elections during the term of the next Knesset, the change will have been made.
Right.
And then it'll be interesting to see what happens after that. So this is certainly an interesting point of view. My own feeling, for what it's worth, is that I think that the support that they have right now is probably going to disintegrate over the period, because people are still quite unsure of what this grouping means. And once they start to understand a little bit more about the inner workings of what the policies are and how the two of the leaders get along together or don't get along, as the case may be, I suspect that people will start to lose a little bit of faith in this grouping, even though it is formidable. It has some very, very strong personalities and clearly some very capable people. But I think that the way that it works might be a problem, and that ultimately we're only talking about a difference of one seat at the moment between the new group of Gantz, Lapid and Netanyahu. And that one seat could easily be lost within the space of a few days. 1, 2, 3 weeks go by, and all of a sudden you can see a gap opening of 3, 4, 5 seats in one direction or the other. My suspicion is that the Likud will remain fairly stable. These guys may lose some support, possibly to Labour, backwards and forwards, because there has been this vacillation between people supporting the new group and Labour. And I think that ultimately they may well serve to defeat each other. They may well serve to work against each other and ultimately allow the Likud to take it. That's the way I see it.
I tend to agree. I agree with you. And I think the fact that this to me is it signifies a definite issue with regard to the two of them being able to work and manage this thing together. Unsigned says Lapid is venomously anti-religious, but I think that's Tommy Lapid. That is not Yair Lapid. I certainly, everything I've read about Yair Lapid is he is a bit of a bridge builder. He tries to reach out to across the board to various communities. Am I wrong in my assessment?
I think that he's certainly not being as anti-religious as his father was. That's a fair statement. It's not clear, you know, whether he really feels one way or another about the religious community. Having said that, he hasn't really made any negative views known about the religious community.
Right. So the statement to say that he's venomously anti-religious, I certainly have not read anything from Yair Lapid that would make me think that he's venomously anti-religious. Can we just talk about, before we spend, I don't want to spend too much time on that, the issue with Meir Kahane's party. And we saw yesterday there did seem to be some form of reaching out to them from Netanyahu. This to me is a real concern, because their views are somewhat extremist. I think there are real issues of racism within that group. They've been banned before. What's the story?
Well, the question is whether the party that was banned was really a function of Kahane himself, and whether he was really the main instigator and the main racist, and whether that strong anti-feeling that was enough to get the party banned and to have Kahane excluded from the Knesset and so on, whether that still persists today within what remains of the party. And in all honesty, I'm not entirely sure. The truth of the matter is that they do hold extreme right-wing views. That goes without saying. That was really the basis But the question is, at what point does it really cross the line? And so, you know, I think that people are entitled to hold extreme right or left-wing views if that's what they wish to do. I think that Prime Minister Netanyahu is really struggling to look for as much support as he can get in the wake of, you know, the events of last night and what we've seen, the support that's coming towards Gantz and Lapid right now. And he's looking to find support in whichever way he can find it. He's already come out and said, you know, Gantz and Lapid can only really form a government if they team up with the Arab party. That's going to be an interesting thing to watch. But I think that it's almost similar in nature if Netanyahu forms his association, as he seems to want to do, with this very, very far right-wing party. So I'm my judgment at the moment hasn't been made, and I want to just see how they you know, present their platform and who their individuals are and so on before I make my judgment. And you know, there is no doubt that the Prime Minister will do whatever he can in order to get himself back into office, even if it means teaming up with a party that might have questionable credentials. But I think that, you know, the party that was in the days of Meir Kahane is not exactly the same party that we see today. I think that it has a slightly different nature about it. That's my own view.
Certainly one worth keeping an eye on. What was also interesting is a comment that you made, that only 11% of Israelis believe that the Palestinian conflict should be a priority in the general election. What is the highest priority for Israelis in this election?
Economics. Absolutely 100%. That is really what the focus is right now. And that's apparently what the opinion polls are saying, that you know, the main issue is really all about the cost of living. Then people talked about prioritizing security, including the battle against terrorism, but that was seen as distinct from resolving the Palestinian issue. So the whole issue of security and the fight against terrorism is seen as a separate discussion from the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, because I think that when people say, well, should that be a priority, then I think that people see it as saying, should it be a priority to somehow come to some sort of an agreement, to focus energy, to focus resources, to focus time and money on somehow finding a way to resolve this and to come to an agreement once and for all? And I think that most Israelis are saying, well, we could do that until we're blue in the face, but it's not going to succeed. So why bother even prioritizing that as part of the current election? Something like 32% of the people who were polled in this particular opinion poll said that they care mostly about the cost of living. That's the most important thing for them. Followed quite closely, 26% saying security and the battle against terrorism. And only 11% said that they really thought the issue of the Palestinian conflict should have a high priority.
Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Finally, tomorrow is the Tel Aviv Marathon. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so this is a huge event, the biggest event, the biggest running event in the Israeli calendar. 40,000 people will be running tomorrow. There'll be various events, including a full marathon. There'll be a half marathon. There'll be a 10K event. There'll be a 5K event. There's even going to be a hand cycle race. There's even going to be inline skating event, half marathon. So it's really kind of party time in Tel Aviv tomorrow morning.
It's only Tel Aviv can do.
Only Tel Aviv can do, and really as against the, as opposed to, for example, the Jerusalem Marathon, which only attracts 25,000 people. This is a 40,000 people event, a huge event, and of course party time. Interestingly, you know, it's a great place to run. It's relatively flat. It's along the beachfront. It's through the old part of Jaffa. It's, you know, through the Tel Aviv. You know, the times really show it. The men's record, 2 hours and 10 minutes. The ladies' record at the moment was set as 2 hours and 35 minutes. Both of the records held by Kenyans at the moment. So an interesting one. For those people who enjoy running, want to prepare for the comrades, whatever you want to do, this is a great event, and hopefully the weather will be good tomorrow. It looks like it's going to be cooperative. In past years, we've had problems with heat waves, and they've moved the date of the marathon.
Of course, I remember that.
But it's looking like the weather's going to be cooperative, relatively cool, not too hot. No rain really forecast for tomorrow, so it's definitely party time in Tel Aviv tomorrow, and everybody will be out running along.
Are you?
I am not actually running in this one. I have to say self-respecting town and city in Israel has its own run.
Right.
And generally speaking, I'd like to, you know, participate in my local runs, which I've done on a few occasions. Not the marathon distance, I have to say, but nevertheless. And of course, the logistics of getting to and from these runs with 40,000 people is amazing.
Incredible. Yeah.
And let's not forget the t-shirt. The t-shirt is a big deal. It's peach colored this year. Every runner gets a t-shirt, and it's something that they can display with pride after they've hopefully finished the course and enjoyed the race.
Brilliant. Anthony Reich, you have a fantastic weekend, and we will chat to you on Monday morning, same time, same place.